Legislative Council meeting, please come to order for this meeting on March 14th, 2016. And it is 4:35. Pam, would you take a roll call, please?
Senator Meyer. Senator Coghill. Senator Hoffman. Senator Huggins.
Here.
Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Michiki.
Here.
Senator McGuire. Senator Giesel. Representative Chenault.
Here.
Representative Hawker. Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Kito.
Here.
Representative Millett. Representative Newman. Representative Thompson. Representative Drummond.
Here.
Vice Chair Herron.
Here.
Chair Stevens.
Here. And so we have
10 members present.
We have a quorum. Thank you. I just want to announce that we have this conference room for only 30 minutes, so about actually till 4 o'clock. We have to be out of here, so I'll try to make this meeting very brief, and the chair would appreciate your cooperation, not that you've ever given it before, but just in case. Let's move on to the approval agenda, if you would, Representative Garland.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the agenda.
Thank you. If there's no objection, so ordered. I'm moving on to the approval of the minutes. Representative Herron.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the minutes of the December 4, 2015 meeting as presented.
Thank you. Is there any objection to those minutes? Thank you. If there are no objections, then the minutes are approved. Moving on to ratification of charitable events. I sanctioned the following events. They've been checked to make sure that they are 501c3 organizations. And Representative Herron for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS24.60.080A2B, 2016 Midnight Sun Charity Shoot, 53rd Annual Legislative Skits.
Thank you. Again, if there are no objections, then those events have been ratified. Now, this is one of the more serious items, and the reason we have to meet, because there are issues that have to be taken care of here very quickly. The first is the Office of the Ombudsman lease renewal. Representative Herron, for a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number one of the lease extension with JRW Ventures, Windward Town and Country Plaza, Incorporated, in the amount of $42,025.30 for May 1, 2016 to April 30th, 2017.
Thank you, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. Tina Strong is here with us. Tina, can if you come forward to explain this and answer questions. I'd also like to announce that Linda Laura Jenkins is on the phone if we have any questions of her. Ms. Strong.
For the record, through the chair, my name is Tina Strong, Procurement Officer for the Legislative Affairs Agency. And the original lease for the Office of the Ombudsman was for 3 years, beginning May 1st, 2013, and will be terminating April 30th, 2016. There are three renewals of lease available under the lease agreement, each for a one-year period. The Office of the Ombudsman would like to proceed with renewal number one for the period May 1, 2016 through April 30th, 2017. If Legislative Council approves renewal number one, this will leave two more renewals of lease available before we have to go out to bid or do a lease extension. This lease exceeds $35,000 in one fiscal year, therefore your approval is required.
Thank you.
And this is just a standard routine renewal.
Any discussion or questions about this lease? As you can see, it expires at the end of April, and of course we have talked about the possibility of moving some agencies into the LIO. This one is a little too fast because we don't really know where we are exactly right now. We haven't received confirmation on the purchase, and we have not, and of course the court order on the law case has been going forward, the Gottstein case. So we're waiting to hear before we take any serious move, and I think we're sort of forced in the situation of moving ahead with this one-year contract. Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, is a month-to-month extension possible?
Very good question. Do you have a response to that?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, we did not ask that question. I was not asked to ask that question. I was told to proceed with the renewal for the 1 year.
Mr. Chairman, I just, you know, that was kind of one of the thoughts behind if we stay in the existing LIO, was that we wanted to move them in and justify, and that would help justify the cost in staying there. And I would think that decision will have to be made fairly soon. So I hate to get stuck in a year contract if we can help it.
Right, I understand your point. I should explain that as we've talked this process through, the first folks we would move into the Anchorage LIO would be the auditors. There are 12 of them. We'd also talk the second stage would probably be the Eagle River LIO. There are 4 legislative offices there. That's already a pretty substantial number. Pam, how many folks are in the Ombudsman office? Can you tell me?
Mr. Chairman, I believe there are 6 people in the Anchorage office, but Linda's online and she can correct me if I'm wrong.
Thank you. Linda, do you have a response to that? How many folks you have in the Ombudsman office?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do have 6 employees in the Ombudsman's office.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Speaker?
Yes.
No, sorry. That's him.
Mr. President?
Mr. Chairman. So, and maybe in here, and I haven't had a chance to read it. Where are they located now, the Ombudsman's office?
Strong.
For the, through the chair, Senator Meyer, they are located at the Ship Creek Center at 333 West 4th Avenue, Suites 305 and 307 in Anchorage.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming that's the what we refer to as Anchorage folks as the Sunshine Mall? Okay.
Yes, No.
Mr. Chair, no, it's not the Sunshine Mall. Excuse me for interrupting. It is what used to be known as the Post Office Mall. The Sunshine Mall is occupied by several other agencies, I believe, from the municipality.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. So I understand that if we were to move them into the LIO, we'd have to do some pretty serious remodeling, and that would take time as well. At this point, which we're sort of, we've come to the point where the contract it ends the end of this month, I think it sort of puts us in a tough spot, and I encourage a vote to move ahead and approve this lease. And if we have space available at a later date, we could accommodate the Ombudsman in the Anchorage LIO. Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there availability to sublease this in case we do decide to move over, that we could sublease? Is that part of the lease?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, we would have to talk to the landlord about that. I've never asked that question. We don't own the building, so I'm not sure if the landlord would allow us to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Good point. We'll follow up on that and talk to the owner and see if the possibility is possible, is at all possible. Senator McCree.
Just if I remember correctly, when we spoke to Commissioner Fisher, he thought that he had enough folks in the $3 range per square foot to move to fill any availability we had in both buildings. This particular lease is at $1.80 a square foot, so I'm not sure that this would be the best target for a move for maximum savings.
Thank you, Senator Michigan. You're a very good point. Further comments or discussion? Roll call, please, on the motion.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Keto.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
She's alternate. Mr. Keto is here.
And Senator Coghill's here, by the way.
You are an alternate, but your vote is still applicable now because we don't have the full 7 members of the House here.
Oh, thank you.
Then Representative Drummond.
Yes. Thank you.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Vice Chair Heron.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
11 yeas.
Thank you. Let's move on to the stolen. Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drummond is our alternate for our minority.
Oh, that's right.
I see, okay.
And Representative Thompson, I believe, is our alternate for our majority in case the majority member's not here.
Thank you, sir.
So I don't know if you would want to either revote that or, but we'd like to make sure that we don't get that confused.
I think it's simply correct. Yeah, we'll correct. Roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving on to Stowaways Contract Amendment, Representative Herron, if you have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Legislative Council approve an amendment to the Legal Services Contract Stowaways LLP in the amount of $100,000 to represent the legislature with any matters related to 716 West Forest Avenue.
Thank you. I'll object for purposes of discussion, and I see that that Gardner is here. Mr. Gardner, can you explain this issue and be available for questions?
Thank you, Senator Stevens. In the spirit of keeping things short, we need more money. I asked Stoll to give me an assessment of where we are right now, and we have a tab at Stoll of about $82,000 right now that we haven't paid. And that's just because we haven't had a meeting to get to the approval process. So I'm requesting the amendment of $100,000, and we'll see how far that takes us. A lot of that may depend a little bit on what happens in the next couple weeks with what you all do with the budget.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Gardner? Yes, Representative Keno.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Gardner. Just for clarification, you're saying that we've expended the $100,000 and we have bills for an additional $82,000, and you're requesting $100,000 to give you some leeway depending on what happens with the lawsuit, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the questions or discussion. Roll call, please, on the motion. And I will remove my objection.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Michicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Keto.
Yes.
Vice Chair Herron.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
10 yeas, no nays.
Thank you. Under other committee business, there's two items. The first is the legislative audit. There's no action needed on that, but we need to talk about it. No motion is needed. But Pam, would you explain the FY15 legislative audit?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the members, our independent auditor is LG Rayfield Mertz. We have one renewal option left. It is a clean audit, and there are no exceptions. And I'd be glad to answer any questions regarding the audit.
Thank you, Pam. Any questions on the audit? Okay, great. Let's go on to the last item on the committee business. It's the records policy amendment. Representative Herron.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Legislative Council approve the amendment to the Legislative Council's Council records policy as per the attached draft.
Thank you, Representative. I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Gardner, again, thank you for being here. Could you talk a little bit about how we've come to this point and what we need to do?
Certainly, Senator Stevens. Obviously, in the last little while, two legislators have passed away while in office, and it has created difficulties with respect to records. I don't want to talk about any specific record, and I don't think that's necessary, but legislative, you know, one of the main missions of our office is to protect and defend legislative immunity. You all have it. You all have records. And some of those things that you have in your office may not be subject to legislative immunity. Some may. It's a complex discussion beyond probably where we are today. But the problem is that when you have records that are subject to immunity, your records and analysis of the things within the sphere of your legislative duties, voting on the floor, analysis of bills, drafts of bills, all of those types of things have legislative immunity. They may also be protected by attorney-client, et cetera. But if someone leaves, someone dies, and they haven't left any instructions, we believe that the fairest reading of the Constitution is that absent a waiver, those records remain confidential, subject to the immunity. and so it goes. And it becomes very difficult for the people who are addressing the records without any direction from the legislator that holds the immunity to deal with them. And so, at the direction of the chair and working closely with Representative Johnson and Senator Huggins' office, both the rules chairs, we tried to tackle this issue. And the idea was to create some sort of a form, you've seen it attached, it's in the packet, that would go through and explain what the immunity is, in essence, and the form tries to address the situations and circumstances where a person either becomes disabled or dies in office. And one of the aspects of the form that I think is probably the most important is for legislators to have the option of designating someone who can address those records. It might be a chief of staff, it might be a spouse, it might be that the waiver form is specifically filled out, but if we don't have something, our position is that your records remain confidential, and that's to protect you from prying eyes and to maintain your constitutional confidence. And so just maybe the way I might address it if it were a bill, I just go through it really quickly with you. And on page one, obviously we've used bold and underline for your convenience. On page one, we addressed incapacity of a legislator. We addressed in paragraph B. In paragraph C, we addressed death of a legislator much in the same way. And basically, it's an assertion by you all that those records are subject to immunity and are confidential unless in section D there's a waiver. So both B and C direct you to D, and D provides for a waiver and release. It imposes the responsibility on the agency to provide a form to each legislator at the beginning of each legislature. I've spoken with Ms. Varney and she contemplates something in the hiring packet or the packet that you all fill out when you start. That would have that waiver form in it. It would be very easy to change that. If for some reason you designated your chief of staff as a person to work through your records if something happened and he or she left, you could simply change that at any time. We've provided for the waiver. The default position in this policy is that if you don't fill out a waiver, and there might be a legislator that just doesn't want to fill out the policy and for whatever reason, and so anticipating that, the default position is that the records won't be provided or released. I think Section E is a real important section. It's responsibility for records. You all have records that have layer after layer of confidential documents. You might have an oil company document for some reason that you got in a release that you're reviewing. That's obviously subject to immunity, may also be subject to the confidentiality provisions that you signed. You've got constituent records that may have Social Security numbers in them. They may have certain types of HIPAA releases. You may have all kinds of information. And so what Section E does is says the responsibility for your records and organizing them and maintaining them is for each legislator. And it's just basically acknowledging that all of these different confidences are in a sort of a honeycomb in those records. And I think that in the conversations that I had with the rules chair staff, I think there was an idea that if you adopt this policy, that there would be a real effort in orientation, do some training, maybe for staff so that they can be attuned to this as you get things from us or you get things from Health and Social Services, that there might be a way to keep them organized. So, the policy tries to, in summary, protect you from preserve legislative immunity to the maximum extent possible, but also recognize that you all have that authority to release things, but it warns in E that if you do release things, that you're responsible for the things that get released in terms of the other confidences. It also, I understand, I did not know this, but during the process, Ms. Varney mentioned that we actually have a fair number of records that are being stored by certain legislators, and I think in recognition of the fact that we don't want to, as an agency, be handling too many confidential records like this and putting us in that position, both from a space standpoint and from a legal standpoint, that if something happens, the provisions in the policy are that I think it's we're not going to store records for more than 5 years, and we will address records left over if a legislator dies or leaves office within 90 days, either with a dispersal per the instructions or with a, frankly, a confidential burn of the records if there's no directive. That's the policy, and I think it would be very helpful both to Ledge Legal and to individual members if you gave it consideration and implemented it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. This has placed the Legislative Affairs in a very difficult position, and this solves it, having a waiver like this. I appreciate the works of the good work of the Rules Chair, Senator Huggins, Representative Johnson. They really helped move this forward. Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug, I think I've got a couple of different questions. I know we're running out of time. I guess first, a thought that maybe it's something that we can take under advisement, and I haven't seen it prior to this, so it'd be nice to be able to have an opportunity to understand the full implications. But I think for myself as a legislator right now, I have documents in my office. I've got documents on my computer. When I leave office, those documents are what Ledge Legal hangs onto those and then tells me what I can take, or do I remove them with me as I leave office?
Through the chair, Representative Keto, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to it.
So I
just don't. We've thought about it. We've discussed it. I didn't come unprepared. We just don't know.
Thank you, Doug. I guess I'm thinking we have legislators that retire, leave office all the time. What happens to their documents?
I think through the chair, Representative Keto, I think as a practical matter, legislators probably elect to take their records. But the difference between that and a situation where a person dies in office is that you, Representative Keto, have sorted your records. You've decided you want to take some. And that's a conscious decision. You may decide you want to give them to the University of Alaska, but that's a conscious decision by you. When you die, if someone dies without a waiver, they're not able to make that decision. And in the recent events, this office has been put in a very difficult position trying to work through that. And so I think you can take your records, they're yours.
Mr. Chairman, as a follow-up, I guess, thank you, Doug. So if I can take my records, and I understand that there are issues that might be confidential, that means, in my belief, I guess, that those records belong to me, and therefore, being personal property, if I die in office, then my heirs should be eligible to receive those documents. Understanding that if my heirs are receiving those documents, that I could expect that Ledge Legal would go through and identify if there are confidential items or items that shouldn't be released to an heir, that where the legislator can't make those decisions, Ledge Legal has to make those official decisions. But it still seems to me that those documents, because they were in possession of the legislator and did not belong to Legislative Affairs at the time, would still be in possession of the legislator when the legislator passes away, and that legislator would then be able to, they should go into the estate of the legislator minus the Legislative Affairs review of documents that might be confidential.
Through the chair, that's a heck of a question. I think that the premise in the question that they are your records is true to the extent that you waive that confidentiality and that you're alive to deal with them. Our office has given a lot of consideration to this, and we don't really have, there's not a lot of law in America that really addresses this. I think that there's an argument that you create these things on state time and state effort, and there's some competing interests there in terms of whose property they are. But I think that if you're alive and you can waive them, I think you can, and you can waive that or make a decision about your records. You're not incapacitated. You can take them. I don't want to comment on Representative Gruenberg's situation, which is really the line of questioning that you're taking me down. But my position and our position, and we think the law clearly is, if you don't waive it, the body has an interest in legislative immunity. This is not just an individual situation. That also is not super settled in the case law, but that's why we're dealing with this as a policy, because the legislature, and there may be, I would imagine in any one of your records, you may have emails between each other, you may have emails with, you know, Senator Stevens or Senator Coghill, and the body has an interest in this, and so to say it's your property, I do think you can leave with your records if you can make that decision. But I'm not prepared to say that. I will say this, I do not think they're personal property that passes through a will. I absolutely do not think that's the case.
Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I guess there may be a disagreement there, because I think if I leave office currently, so if I'm serving in office, my term expires, I take the information with me, I have emails that I've shared or that I've sent or received, I'm out of office. If I take that email and share it with somebody else, I don't see Ledge Legal coming in and being able to exercise authority over me after I'm a legislator. So I agree with that.
I agree with, through the chair, I agree with that. Ledge Legal has been put in a difficult position absent a waiver, where there are a lot of records that you all have a constitutional interest as a body in. We've been thrust in the situation. We're not out trying to police anybody. If you leave office and you disclose files, and they have confidential information in them, that's your business, that's your problem. But when we have a legislator that dies, we've got this situation where we've got to protect the immunity. But I absolutely do not believe, and I believe the case law is clear, that upon death, I do not believe that records of a legislator, absent a waiver, passed through a will, I do not think they're like personal property. The waiver, the courts have said, in order to release records, there has to be a clear and specific waiver so that people don't get a hold of your records after you die, and we all know the policy issues there. But they are not personal property that pass through a will. I feel comfortable with that. If I didn't think that, the current situation with Representative Gruenberg's files would be handled very differently. But that's what I think the law requires.
The real difficulty is if someone were to die in office. I mean, the rest of this we can deal with, but if there is a death, it puts us in a very difficult position. Representative Keto.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm trying to understand why there is a distinction. So if I leave office, my term expires January 1st, 2017. I have all of my stuff packed up, and on January 1st, 2017, I die. What happens to all of those records?
I'm not saying I have a perfect answer for all of that. There are some practical realities. I think once the documents leave and you've made a conscious decision to take them out, I'm just not sure. I don't think that it's beyond the pale that under some circumstance the legislature might be able to step in and say, hey, wait a minute, got an immunity issue here. I don't know what the links are. I'm trying to be practical and pragmatic about it. But if you leave and you take your records, no one's going to leave the Terry Miller building chasing you down. Unless these guys vote for the legislature ultimately directs us to try and intervene in some way, but I just don't think they are personal property. I think that's the biggest hang-up that comes up in this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I don't have any other questions. I will have comments.
Further questions or comments? Are we signed? Yes, President Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug, you know, we talked about, you know, piercing the immunity veil, and if we did it, we kind of opened it all up. Are you confident that with this waiver, we would not be in that situation where if one person does it, that it kind of opens the floodgate?
Well, you know, at this point, I think it's a good question. I respect the question. I wouldn't mind getting into an executive session to have a discussion a little further about this, because I feel like, unless you just want me to go ahead.
I think we are pushing our time limit here, and we've been thrown out of better places than this, but you never know. I mean, there's going to be a conference committee here, and so we need to vacate the room quickly. So I would say we'll postpone this matter until our next meeting, but I would encourage all of you, as I have done, to sign this waiver and put it in your desk. in case any of you expire between now and our next meeting. If there's nothing else, we're adjourned.